Readings from Luke 13, 1-5 and 31-33. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem."
Amen. Thanks so much, Trish, for reading that scripture. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, Lord, as we look at your word together at this time, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would speak into each of our hearts. Lord, that we would hear what you are saying to us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing my series in the Gospel of Luke entitled "Jesus is for Everyone." The last couple of sermons in Luke 12, my titles were "Are You a Fool?" And then the last time I spoke from the Gospel of Luke, it was "Are You Ready?" Today, I want to continue that same sort of theme, and I want to ask you, are you controlled by fears and anxieties? Are you controlled by fears and anxieties, or are you putting your life into God's hands? You know, many people's lives today are controlled, are dominated, are paralyzed by fears and anxieties. And you know, COVID has made those fears and anxieties far worse, haven't they, for many people? Mental health and well-being are core issues that are affecting our society today. Fears and anxieties are massively increasing among children and teenagers. Even primary school children, even very young children, are being seriously affected by fears, by anxieties, by mental stress, etc. And the demand on mental health services is becoming overwhelming. And you know, church people, Christians, church kids and teenagers are not exempt from debilitating fears and anxieties. There are people in this church this morning. There are people watching on the live stream this morning who really struggle with fears and anxieties. Maybe you are one of them. Some, you know, have never returned to church since COVID because they get anxious about mixing in large groups and crowded places. And that is the reality, that people are struggling with fears and anxieties in society today. And in this multimedia internet age, we are constantly bombarded, aren't we, with news, with videos, with images of war, disasters, tragedies, violence, terrorism, etc. And you know, those videos have an effect on us, don't they? I mean, so many of us have been affected even this last week of seeing some of those terrible destruction in Gaza and the loss of life of innocent people, children, etc. And it's beamed into our living rooms, or it's on there on our tablets or whatever. And it has effect. They influence us, and we can easily develop fears and anxieties that similar tragedies, that similar disasters, that similar violence could happen to us. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus and his disciples and followers are given three news items that are shocking, that are traumatic, that are tragic, and are worrying. They were intended to cause them fear and anxiety. Fears and anxieties that could have dominated, could have destroyed, could have disabled Jesus' whole purpose, Jesus' whole mission. They could have prevented him from going to Jerusalem to fulfill God's calling. They could have stopped Jesus fulfilling his Father's salvation plan. And we need to realize, if we allow fears and anxieties to take control of our minds and our lives, they will prevent us fulfilling God's calling in our lives. They will stop us discovering God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives that Romans 12:2 tells us about. So first of all, don't fear tragedy, verses 1 to 3. If we can have the next slide up. Don't fear tragedy. So the first piece of tragic news is found in verses 1 to 3. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." You know, it's easy for us to miss the significance of this shocking news to Jesus and his disciples. See, Jesus, we know, has set his face to Jerusalem. He is determined to go to Jerusalem. He is on his way to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission. His disciples are fearful and anxious. They want to stop Jesus going to Jerusalem because it's too dangerous for Jesus to go there. And so they've been doing everything they can to try to dissuade Jesus from going to Jerusalem. Jesus, by going to Jerusalem, is putting his life and ministry in danger. He's putting his disciples and his followers in danger. And in verse 1, some of them bring news that will surely stop Jesus going to Jerusalem. They tell Jesus about these Galileans who had gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, and Pilate had thought that they were leading an uprising or leading a revolt, and Pilate had them actually murdered by Roman soldiers, murdered in the temple as they made their sacrifices to God. And their own blood, the blood of these Galileans, had actually mixed with the blood of the sacrifices that they were making in God's holy temple. And this was terrible. This was shocking news. This was horrifying news to any Jew, because God's holy temple had been desecrated. It had become a place of murder, a place of martyrdom, a place of bloodshed, a place of impurity, a place of unholiness. So why would this bit of news cause this great fear and anxiety for Jesus and his disciples? They were Galileans too. Most of Jesus' disciples were Galileans. They were from the same area. These were their brothers who had been murdered in the temple. What were Jesus' disciples doing? They were on their way to Jerusalem, to the very same temple, to worship God, to bring their sacrifices in just the same way that these others had. And the same tragedy could happen to them. No. If you were on your way to a Christian conference somewhere and you heard that terrorists had raided the conference center last week and murdered some Christians who had traveled from Sheffield and Rotherham, I think fear and anxiety would rise up in your heart. Let's be honest. It's very likely that your fear and anxiety on hearing this news, maybe on the radio or maybe by telephone, would cause you to turn around your car if you were going by car and decide, I think I might head back to the safety of Sheffield and Rotherham rather than going to that Christian conference because, you know, these other people from Sheffield and Rotherham have ended up being horribly murdered at this Christian conference center. And you would be glad to get back to the safety and security of your home, and you'd be very thankful you hadn't gone to the conference last week. And that's reality, isn't it? But how does Jesus respond? Jesus is not affected by fear and anxiety. Did you know that? Jesus is never affected by fear and anxiety. Wow. Because Jesus knows that his life and safety, and the life and the safety of his disciples and followers, is not in the hands of Pilate. It's not in the hands of the Romans or secular authorities. It's not in the hands of the Jewish leaders. It's not in the hands of the high priest or any of the religious authorities. Jesus' life, Jesus' destiny, Jesus' future, his security is in the hands of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. And nothing and no one can do anything against Jesus and his disciples without the authority and the permission of the Lord God Almighty, who happens to be Jesus' heavenly Father. Amen? You know, if you have committed your life fully to God, your life is in the hands of God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty. And no one and nothing can come against you without the permission and the will of the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Amen? Isn't that exactly what Psalm 91 promises? And many of us love Psalm 91. Let me read it to you. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, it's a conditional promise, this. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snail and from the dead snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. We love those words, don't we? If you are struggling with fears and anxieties, you cannot be fully committing your life to God. Do you realize that? If you're struggling with fears and anxieties, you're not fully trusting in the Lord, because you're taking those fears and anxieties upon yourself. You're not fully understanding that your life is hid with Christ in God, and that he is the one who's in control. Jesus says only one thing is needful. Repent. Repent of your fears and anxieties. Put your trust in the Lord. Commit yourself and your future into God's hands. Switch your mind from fears and anxieties and know your life is in God's hands. Now, that is something that's very practical. Now, when are those fears and anxieties the worst? They're the worst at night time, aren't they? You wake up in the middle of the night and everything is crowding up against you, and you know, the fear begins to rise up, the anxieties about the next day and the next week and the things you're facing, they rise up in that sort of way, don't you? Well, you know, the Bible tells us just to switch your mind. Switch your mind at that moment. Take control of your minds. Put your trust in the Lord, because your life is hidden in Christ if you've committed yourself to him. Commit those fears. Commit those anxieties to him. Commit your future into God's hands. Know your life is in God's hands. Your life is not in the hands of fate. It's not in the hands of luck. It's not in the hands of your enemies. It's not in the hands of terrorists. It's not in the hands of nuclear war or global warming or violent people. If you've committed your life to Jesus, your life is in the hands of the God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to put that into practice. Now, committing our lives into God's hands doesn't mean that tragedies and accidents and ill health and death cannot happen to us. Jesus himself was on his way to Jerusalem. He was going to suffer terribly. He was going to die upon the cross. Most of the disciples who were following Jesus experienced suffering, persecution, and martyrdom. The big difference in their lives was that their lives were totally submitted to God's will and purposes. They were able to be bold in the face of suffering. They were able to be bold in the face of persecution. They were able to be bold even in the face of death. Just look at Stephen. You know, his face shone like an angel as they stoned him to death. They're able to be bold. Why? Because their lives were not governed by fears and anxieties. They knew that they could trust, totally trust God with their lives and with their future. Put your trust in the Lord. He is the sovereign, almighty God. We can trust him with anything and everything in our lives. Secondly, much more briefly, don't fear tragic accidents in verses 4 to 5. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus himself reminds his disciples of a tragic accident in Jerusalem, which was again where they were heading. And Jesus says, "All those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Siloam is an area of Jerusalem very close to the temple. The 18 innocent Jews who died when the tower fell on them were probably on their way to worship at the temple. You know, tragic accidents happen, don't they? Nothing we do necessarily can change that. Tragic accidents happen. But it's no good living in fear of possible accidents that might happen to us. Jesus said they didn't die because they were particularly evil or bad people. Jesus says, unless you repent, you too will all perish. And Jesus is saying, unless you put your life into God's hands, you will perish like these unfortunate people. If you keep trusting in yourselves, if you hold on to your fears and anxieties, tragedies and accidents will come upon you too. Now, Jesus here is not talking about hell. We can imagine that when he talks about perishing, he's always talking about hell. But he's talking here about the continual uprising of the religious Jews against their Roman occupiers in Jerusalem that would end in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 when so many Jews died by the sword and by falling buildings when their cities and homes were destroyed around them. Jesus is saying, if you do not repent and turn away from violent insurrection and political and religious sort of extremism, you will not experience God's protection, provision, and peace. Don't we want God's protection, his provision, and his peace? You know, God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. He has a calling for each one of us to fulfill. Our lives are totally secure in him until he has fulfilled his purposes in us and through us. No, fear, freedom from fears and anxieties come when we trust God with our life. When we trust God with our future, because it's in God's hands. When we trust God for our health. when we trust God for our finances, when we trust God for our family, when we trust God even for our death. And that's what it's talking about here. You know, fears and anxieties are usually irrational. Did you realize that? They're usually irrational. Tell you a totally true story. A lovely Christian older couple were partners of the church here for a number of years. A great blessing to us, and they helped out in some of our ministries. But when we were in the process of buying this site way back in 2015, 2016, they decided to leave the church because they felt it would not be safe for them to come to this building, that their car would not be safe parked in Spittle Hill. And they were very fearful, very anxious about the dangers of Spittle Hill and this area. It was too dangerous a place to come and worship Jesus here. And their fears and anxieties were very irrational because they left 5 years before we even moved from that previous building. You know, it was just the thought that eventually the church was going to end up here that they left because it was just too dangerous to come 200 metres up the road to Spittle Hill. And tragically, it was only about 18 months later that the husband died very suddenly in his own bed in the safety and security of his own home. Do you know, statistically, more people die in their own home than people who risk going places and even doing potentially risky or dangerous things that people might be fearful and anxious about. Fears and anxieties are usually irrational. Putting our faith and trust in God, in the sovereign God, is far more rational and sensible because God is the one who determines our days. You know, you're not going to live for a day longer than God has determined. You're not going to live for a day shorter than God has determined, because all our times are in God's hands, not in our hands. And that's what Jesus says. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? But in everything, by prayer and petition, you know, do not be anxious, but commit everything to the Lord in prayer. Our lives are hid in God. There's beautiful pictures in the psalm of that God is the strong tower and the righteous run into it and are saved. You know, run into God because you're totally secure in God. Out there, you know, when fears and anxieties come, run to God. Don't run away from him. Run towards him, run into that strong tower and know his sovereign presence and power over your life. Be totally confident in God's plan and purpose for your life. Be totally confident in his calling on your life. None of your fears and anxieties will overcome God's will, plan, and purpose. And then thirdly and finally, don't fear danger or death, verses 31 to 33. The third frightening news flash was brought by the Pharisees. Verse 31, at that time some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus replied, "Go and tell that fox." Jesus wasn't always polite. He wasn't the epitome of an English gentleman. "Go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." We all know what he's referring to there. "In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Jesus knew exactly where he was heading. Jesus knew exactly what he would be facing. And no fear and no anxiety that was put upon him was going to stop him fulfilling God's mission. Don't allow fear and anxiety to stop you using God's gift, fulfilling your calling, fulfilling your destiny in Jesus Christ. You know, the Pharisees' advice was perfectly sensible and wise. Jesus' life was in danger. King Herod was searching for Jesus to kill him. He'd already killed John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. So Jesus is in big danger. And surely Jesus needs to run away. Surely he needs to go into hiding. Surely the last place he should go is Jerusalem, where Herod is half the time. And verses 32 to 33 show us that Jesus is not at all fearful, not at all anxious about Herod and his threats. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. But he knows that his suffering and death is not in Herod's hands. So he doesn't need to worry about Herod, does he? Jesus knows his destiny, his future, his suffering and death, his mission is entirely in his Father God's sovereign control and will. Is your life controlled by fears and anxieties about dangers, about death even? If it is, you're not fully committing your life and future into God's hands. Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, he or she must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Do you know, Jesus says, it will never be totally safe and danger-free to follow Jesus. Praise God. Wouldn't the Christian life be boring if he guaranteed total safety and security? It's a scary thing, isn't it, putting your life into Jesus' hands, because you never know what he's going to do. You know, I thought I was going to be a farmer. He sends me off in a different direction. I thought I'd always live out in a nice countryside. So it says, well, the inner city will do for you, particularly the deprived inner city. That's just up your street. You know, he pushes us into things and situations that we don't expect. You know, we must be prepared for anything. People often say faith is often spelt R-I-S-K. If we're controlled by fears and anxieties, we will be risk averse. We will be faith averse because we'll be operating by fear rather than faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we need to get rid of the fears and the anxieties and put our faith in God, to follow him through every challenging circumstance, to follow him even through the valley of the shadow of death, being confident of this, that whatever happens to us, our lives and even our death is under the authority and the direction of God, not under the authority of our fears and anxieties. So in summary, don't fear tragedy. Don't fear accidents. Don't fear death itself. Put your life totally in God's hands and know freedom from fears and anxieties. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's wonderful. The Bible relates to society and the pressures of our lives today. It relates to fears and anxieties that are so prevalent in this day. So as we come to just share communion at the end of this service, let's just spend a few moments and let's do business with God before we take communion. If you've been struggling with fears and anxieties in your life, just repent of those things. It's a command. Do not be anxious about anything. But by prayer and petition, make your supplications to God. Freshly put your faith and trust totally in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the price and the penalty for all your fears, for all your anxieties, for all your sins, for all your failures, for all my sins, for all my failures. We come to the communion table on completely level ground. We're all simply sinners. And as we confess our sin to him, he promises that he will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, Lord, would you fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit? Lord, we, each one of us, confess that we struggle with fears and anxieties. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit's help to put our faith and our trust in God. Lord, help us to submit to your sovereign will, plan, and purpose for our lives. Lord, we thank you that your will and your plan for our lives is good, pleasing, and perfect. It cannot be improved on. Forgive us, Lord, when we try to take control ourselves. Lord, forgive us when we've made a mess of our own lives, under our own control, under our own fears, under our own anxieties. Help us to freshly put our trust and faith in the sovereign Almighty God. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, your will and purposes for our lives, for this church, Lord, for our families, Lord, for this city, for this nation, Lord, for the nations of the world, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, your will, your plan, your purposes will be fulfilled. That your promises are yes and amen. Lord, help us to trust in the promises of God.